Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Two men, two missionaries, two men who love missionary.
On a quest against good and evil. Will they succeed?
Maybe.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Welcome to series... What is it, Flats? Quick, tell me.
Dunno, thought you would know. Series number.
Series six. We're back. Bigger. Better. Shorter. Hungrier.
Are we going to do it shorter?
Hungrier.
I'm not as hungry. I'm bigger.
You should be hungrier because you've got an extra mouth to feed. What's gone on? What have you done?
How'd that happen?
Ooh. How come we didn't know about this in the last pod?
Mate of mine just called me and said, I didn't know you're having a baby. I said, well, weirdly, I mean, I hadn't spoken to him for a while, but weirdly, what, like I don't put every
months.
Single thing I'm ever doing online. I
Unless
mean,
you paid
might think
it.
I do, but I don't. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you paid for a baby? No.
Yeah, sponsored baby.
Probably why it wasn't online.
It's a sponsored baby.
You were like Sonia. Well, not you. Your girlfriend. Fiance. I don't know. Must be a fiance
girlfriend.
Now.
No, girlfriend.
What, you didn't even propose when she gave birth?
No.
From like a really old ring that
Neither
your great grandmother had.
Neither did she.
Anyway, you're like Sonia from EastEnders. No one knew she was pregnant. So she gave birth on her own.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
I never understand those stories.
Mm.
Like, I did ask the midwife about that and said, how does that stuff happen? And she was basically like, well, if someone's really, really big, you wouldn't know the difference to look at them because they kind of are continually growing anyway.
Yeah, like you could carry a baby and... No one would know.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I said, I might be. And the midwife said that, I said, what do you do if they're really, really big? And she said, that is difficult because you have to basically, and she's like, there's no two ways about it. You have to be blunt with them and say, right, someone needs to lift that gut out of the way. Someone has to pick it up and lift it out of the way.
Midwives call it a gut,
really
do they?
Well, she might have said stomach or something, but
okay.
you've got to lift it out of the way. So I took off all my clothes and went spread eagle on the bed and said, would you have to do that if it was me? She said, no, you're fine. And I felt great.
By the way, you've got a raccoon between your legs. What's that ferret doing?
Goodness me. Dead Alsatian.
Get a bit of bleach on that.
Fido, come here. Come by.
Get some bleach on it, quick.
We did have a player at Bath who I think bleached an area.
Let's just say hair, okay? Because this is a podcast
for everyone.
I know it isn't
clean, but he had a treatment because his new girlfriend worked at a beautician's.
Yeah.
And he had a few various treatments that was all fine. And he said, I've tried it, lads, didn't like it, and it's rubbish and whatever, and I tried it for a laugh. And then the one thing he did like was having his eyebrows properly shaped, and he looked absolutely terror. Mm. By all means, pluck your eyebrows if you've got rogues and that sort of stuff. But men should not be having their eyebrows shaped. They just shouldn't. It makes them look like plastic dolls.
David Beckham does.
Okay. He's not a man. He's a superhero.
Anyway, right. What have you had? A girl. Okay.
Girl. Named her after Hoover.
Yeah.
Named her after Hetty Hoover. She's called Hetty.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. Saw the photos. Well done.
Mark Durden-Smith will hate me saying this, but he said, "Are you texted him and said, are you spelling it with an IE or a Y?" I said, "A Y." And he said, "Chav." I still don't know why.
That's like Carl with a K.
It's like our mate, my mate Baz, isn't it? With two Zs. Just don't get it. I don't get it.
I love the photo you sent me on the birth. You had your hair really long, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, like Willie Thorne.
Super long at the sides, nothing on top. I was like, oh, come on, mate.
My girlfriend likes that. She honestly likes it.
Really?
Yeah, she likes it. I said, I'll shave my head more now because Shanks keeps calling me Willie Thorne. And she's like, oh, I prefer it when you grow it out a little bit.
Who would have known like her that. Celebrity crush was Willie Thorne?
Who would have known? Who would have known? Yeah, you sent me a very funny video on that.
It was the end of The Bodyguard, wasn't it? I saw a guy looked exactly like you, had the hair exactly like you.
I found it a bit, because I've known you so long, it was all right. But if anyone else had texted me asking for a breastfeeding picture 2 hours after the baby was born, it would have felt weird. Because it was you, it was all right.
Didn't have to ask, mate.
Also true.
Only too happy to share. That's why you're my mate.
Yeah, grow up,
fella. Oh, anyway, how is she? How's mother and daughter? Good? Yeah,
yeah, they're great. They're great, fella.
Oh, good, good.
How are you?
Cherish it.
Have you had any more?
No, but I've had the kids all weekend.
Oh, God, how was that?
She left me again. No, she went out to...
she travel lodge again.
It was okay. It was okay. Just had a lot of sweets, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of ice cream, a lot of sweets.
Keep them high. Mummy gets back, let them crash.
Wife came back yesterday and said, has he had much rubbish? No. Just nothing green for 3 days.
Well, except Haribos, the green ones.
Kept giving him little drumstick sweets. He's going, oh, thanks, Dad. That's a good idea. So I could watch the rugby yesterday.
Yeah, shut up, mate.
Ah, yeah. So anyway, what have you been up to?
Oh, God, fella Magella. We went on holiday, just down, not just a staycation. Actually, I think staycation is where you stay at home, isn't it? A UK holiday is where you go. So I went down to Devon and...
it's not a holiday.
No, it is.
It's not a sensatory. It's not an all-you-can-eat buffet.
No, but we, you know...
Well, you get the cheesecakes, the cheesecakes and dessert, and they're not even like digestive biscuits. It's just soft sponge at the bottom, and it throws you.
No. Not into that. I did an all-inclusive in Corfu about 10 years ago, and I'm up for all-inclusives. I've done some good ones.
It's like your last time abroad?
And it was like, yeah. And it was like, did it. And I was like, this might be a really cheap holiday, but I'm afraid I can't. Like, I'm not that picky, but I was like, this food is so bad that we ended up having all-inclusive and going out for dinner 7 nights out of 7. It was rank. Mm. Absolutely rank.
Ah, you went to the wrong one, mate.
Yeah, I know. There are good ones. I've had some good ones.
Anyway, your holiday in Devon, yeah.
I was in Devon, and it was just settling down to barbecue on the beach. We had a load of saucy sans, a load of, you know, a full, basically, a big box from Field and Flower. And then, excuse me?
Oh, you're sounding more and more like Dirtus. Oh, I had some saucy sans.
Anyway, we had a load of food ready and just cracked his sun cream, cracked open a beer. We had our mate Golly delivering some lobsters over in a bit, and everything was great. Lovely. And then, boom, water's broken a month early. Holiday over, boy. So I had to offload the kids to the Grewcocks and the Powells. And basically, I did see them again, but didn't see them much for the next week. They had the time of their lives, just sleepovers every night.
Were you panicking? With other people. Were you under pressure? Get to the car! No. Now!
I was very relaxed. I thumbed a lift off a bloke because I was across the water and our boat was picking up someone else.
Yeah.
Powell had gone to pick up Dan, so I was like, right, I thumb a lift, and I went down to the boat and said, look, mate, you don't know me, but any chance give me a lift back to the car park? And he was like, oh, hello, Flats, I'm a Chiefs fan. I was like, legend. He was on his ribeye boat, lovely stuff. And I was like, right, mate, this we can do a rugby Q&A on the way back. Can you give me a lift? And he's top bloke. Very relaxed. Done it with four, boy.
It's the third time, isn't it? Of course it is. Yeah. Although two kids is like having two kids. Three's like, I'm 15.
Yeah, although 2 weeks in, my girlfriend did say, God, you know what? I really miss being pregnant. So I threw her out the window. Like, no, you don't miss being pregnant. You really don't.
Methinks there could be another one by the end of the series.
All the blokes listening are like, you'll be having a fourth, mate. You'll be having a fourth. It's like, I'll say here on the podcast now, I bloody love having kids, as you know. I love having a baby. But three's enough for me, boy.
You say that.
I don't want to get a van. I don't want to have to get a van.
A Mercedes One.
I don't want to get a van. I've already ordered a 7-seater, and that's grown up enough for me.
Have you?
Yeah.
What Range Rover, Land Rover comes in 7-seater? Discovery.
I'm getting Defender.
Oh, nice.
7-seater, boy.
I met a lady who deals with all the sponsorship for Land Rover on Friday or Thursday. Debs? Is it Debs?
Yeah. I know Debs.
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah. We had a good chat about
you. Good stuff, yeah?
That's all fake,
mate. You said good stuff. You taught me up.
So you're driving around in loads of cars, other brands, doing the dirty on them. Nah. You are Land Rover through and through, mate.
I hope they never find out about my Lamborghini sponsorship. Nightmare.
Yeah.
Hey, so fella, so look, my summer was curtailed with joy, with a 1 month early baby. It was joyful, and it's great. But tell me about your summer, boy.
Not a lot, boy. Really.
You went to Peppa Pig World, didn't you?
Oh well, yeah. Actually, I did. I went to Peppa Pig World. Okay. Loved it. Went to Harry Potter World. Brilliant, if you're a Harry Potter fan, that is.
Oh, it's really good?
Yeah, it is really good. Kids loved it because, well, I only took the oldest two, 12 and 9. Crap names, I know, but they've watched all the Potters, so that was good. Went to Chessington World of Adventure.
What's that like?
I was stung, mate. Stayed in Chessington, a hotel there. Mm. It was a nice hotel.
There we go.
But they said, if you stay in the hotel, we'll open up the park an hour early for you. Brilliant. So... Also had fast passes, so paid extra for fast passes.
Standard.
Got there at 9 o'clock, no rides open. Like you just walk around for an hour till 10.
No.
When the rides up. Yes, David.
Dicks.
Yes, that's what I thought. Exactly what I thought. Nowhere to get breakfast.
It's funny. The first thing you said is when I asked what it was like, you said, I got stung. And if you ask me, Tommy, if you ever ask me about Legoland, I will say to you, I got stung and I will never go back.
I give up.
Shafted. Absolutely shafted in there. Hated it.
Yep. Agreed, mate. I've been once and that was enough for me. So after 10 o'clock, it was good fun. I'm not too keen on white knuckle rides and fast rides. I've got to scan the rides while I'm queuing up to go in to work out where the camera is. And then I sort of close my eyes, grip hold of the sidebars and then open them for the camera and smile like I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
But really, it's killing me.
You see that video going around of that woman who was on the roller coaster and her dress blew off her shoulders basically and she was topless for the whole way around?
No.
That's really inappropriate.
Who sent it to me?
I did a thing with Channel 5 with Derders a couple of years ago, like a promo thing, an advert for the programme. And it was like, they knew that I had a genuine fear of heights and that sort of stuff. My dad actually had a horrible accident with my little brother on a roller coaster. Like, it sounds like a movie. It actually had a horrible accident years ago.
Yeah.
And it derailed and he snapped, he broke his hip and all sorts of stuff. One bloke lost his arm, I think. It was horrendous. Anyway, so I don't want to go on those things. And they thought it'd be hilarious to set up an advert where we're on roller coasters. And I was like, guys, I genuinely don't like them. It's not like, oh, I'd rather not. It's like, I hate these things. And they didn't really, so it was a 1 minute and 20 second ride or whatever it was. I got on, not really that keen to speak, and got back and I'm just like dripping with sweat through fear, and it was quite a chilly day. And they were like, you really don't like these, do you? So I know where you're coming from. It's unpleasant.
Well, your dad's a psychologist, so what I'd say to you, Graham, is practice what you preach, mate.
What?
Well,
get over it.
Yeah.
He's all right.
No, I mean, no, you're scared of rides now because of what went on. You know, with your dad.
Yeah.
So.
PTSD, although I wasn't there.
I did pop up to Loch Lomond, Variety, the children's charity.
Yeah.
Bill Sangster really looked after us. So we had a nice little house just up the road. Had a jacuzzi. The fridges were filled full of red wine, white wine, San Miguel. And went round Loch Lomond on the charity day, one under gross. So,
what's gross?
You do the math. Look in the mirror, mate.
Did you?
Look in the mirror.
what is it?
That's prior to your handicap. It's prior to your handicap. So,
I don't know what that means.
So I got a handicap of 7. So gross was 1 under. Net would have been 8 under. Yeah, exactly.
You've got a handicap of 7. Mm. So say the course is 72. You went round in 78.
71 prior to my handicap.
Yeah, but actually you played 78 shots.
No, I didn't. I played 71 shots.
But that's just 1 under standard, isn't it? If it's a 72 par course.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, so you're 8 under your... That's 8 under...
Yep.
Eight under your handicap.
Yep, you got it, boy.
Okay.
You got
it. Say that then.
Yep. Well, I'm trying to give you correct terminology, you know, so people who play golf will understand. But basically, guys, I was bloody awesome, all right? And I still didn't win it. Still didn't win it. Still didn't win the individual. Andy Ward, Ulster, won it. Off 18. Off 18, which is, you know, I'd like to see a handicap. I'd like to see a handicap certificate, please.
Bandit. I won't say his name because I haven't asked him, but I know a guy in Bath who I saw earlier, and he's in town, and he sold his business a while ago for a very, very, very large amount of money, and things have gone well. And I was like, "So are you still busy Keezy. Grafting?" And he's like, "No, why would I?"
Keatsy?
No, not Keatsy. Oh. So I was like, "What? No, why would I?" I said, "Well, you hear all these stories of the most driven people in the world just never stop." And he's like, "No, I worked really hard for about 15 years and I sold it, made tons of cash. Why would I go to work?" He's like, "I play golf every day." And I was like, "Well, what if it's raining?" He's like, "Well, some days I have a day off if the weather's really bad, but I played 10 rounds last week." He said, and he gets his mates together, and 4 or 5 times a year, he takes them to the best golf courses in the world. He's got top 100 courses in his mind and he's ticking them off.
Yeah, it's the kind of stuff I would do.
It's nice that, isn't it?
Once this podcast is sold, you know, can retire, basically.
I'll ask him if he wants it.
Golf is like a cult, it's like CrossFit, but without the nauseating chat.
What you find is that until someone tells you they play golf, you wouldn't know because you don't have to be big and strong to play golf or fit, but actually, you do find that golfers mention it less than CrossFitters do.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's easy to know who does CrossFit in the room because they've told you already.
They've got massive traps.
Laurie Cantor finished 2nd of the BMW PGA. Well done, Laurie.
Yeah, well done, Laurie, our kid.
Really
well
good,
done, mate.
Really good last round. Really good 4 rounds, really. Just came short, but phenomenal.
I'm mostly
play.
Pleased for Eddie McDonald, my mate who sponsors in Bath Granite and Marble. I'm mostly pleased for Eddie Mack. I mean, yeah, Laurie, fine. But I'm pleased for Eddie because he's been there since the start. That'd be, I don't want to be crude about it, but that'd be quite a big day for Laurie, wouldn't it? Like, that'd be quite a nice paid day.
Yeah, I think it's the flagship of British golf events, apart from the Open. It's sort of quite high up.
Hang on, what did he come 2nd in again?
BMW PGA. Okay. European Tour tournament. But
JCB, BMW, PGA.
But it's a big NFI. Tournament. It's a big tournament. A lot of really famous players were there playing.
Oh, well done, Laurie.
Yeah, so he did really well.
I remember, by the way, I remember...
that was good.
I remember Eddie Pepperell saying, Laurie's the sort of golfer that when he gets it, when it clicks, he will stay good because he's so consistent and he'll get there and he reckons he'll stay there. So I really hope he's right.
And he's just been able to relax a lot more now just watching serial killer documentaries at home. So it's really helped him chill out his mind a little
bit. It's good for you.
Yeah, get a little
fix
now.
You think... On the one hand, my life isn't too bad because I'm not a victim of a serial killer and I'm not a serial killer with that hanging over me and wondering if I'm going to get caught and spend my life in prison. On the other hand, there could be one who lives nearby and might come to my house, you know.
Have you been watching Vigil on BBC?
Yeah.
What's wrong with it? You don't like it for some reason?
No, it's all right.
All right.
It's all right.
Okay.
I don't think it's brilliant.
It was quite a good episode last night.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Oh, it was a good one last night. I've been watching that. I've also watched, I've got a little bit more to go on Turning Point, about 9/11.
Oh, yeah, I need to start that, boss.
There's a lot of times I've got to look up to the ceiling, sort of look away, start thinking about happy thoughts. It's just
brutal.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal. Just more to do with people's actual accounts when they're speaking. Seeing them break down still, hearing more of the actual footage from cockpits, from people calling home, all this sort of stuff, really. So, but it's one of those things you just have to watch, really, because it's part of history. So that is very good on Netflix. Also, what have I watched? Money Heist, new series is out. Only half of it, though. Love
I've never
that.
Seen Money Heist. Yeah, I've started it once or twice and not loved it.
Yeah, well, a lot of these things are like that. You've got to stick with it and then you get into it. So that's that. Succession is starting on the 18th of October, series 3.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh, my God, mate. Mm-hmm. Oh, my good God. Dad has told me to watch. He said, you've got to watch This Is Us and you've got to stick with it. And I turned it on and thought, oh, my God, I've started this before. Mm. I got halfway through the first episode and I don't want to offend anyone here, but I was like, this is the cheesiest, almost the worst TV I've ever seen. I don't normally say stuff like that. I said to my girlfriend, I actively hate this program. I hate it. I hate it.
And you'll never, like, ever now trust Durders for a recommendation.
No, well, he recommended me a couple of books and they are two of the best books I've ever read, which pained me a little bit, but I did love them.
Lord of the Flies?
No, one's called Perfume and one's called Golden Hill. Absolutely.
I remember you talking about Perfume before.
Oh, brilliant. Loved it. Okay, so...
Yeah, we've got to let people know as well, Flats. We're on Cameo now. So we can do shout-outs, birthdays.
Problem is, as soon as we went on Cameo, I had Tom Biggs sending me messages saying, can't believe you've done a Victor Ibogu, because Victor Ibogu does clips on Cameo. Mm. And it's like, I can't believe you're doing a Victor. And I was like, well, we're not doing a Victor, actually. Victor can do his own thing, and that's great. We're doing, you know... We want to help bloody people out. That's the difference, isn't it?
You can have anything you want for a cost, basically, is what we're saying.
Have you seen the bloke, is it Martin something, but he does, like, he goes, takes all his clothes off in his garden and does, like, he's just like it looks like a normal old man, and he's wee into a glass for you if you
Matthew
want
Bennett,
to.
Matthew Bennett, Budgie's mate, that is.
Is it?
Yeah.
But he will do all sorts of stuff, but it's not like, well, look how crazy I'm. He's like, hello, this is for Mark in Scarborough. Happy 21st. Have a good day.
Yeah.
And he sort of poos on his hand. You're like, okay.
Bit nutty.
Hey, this is really odd. This is really odd.
Look, again, you know, it's people are paying for a service, mate. I don't mind doing that into your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
onto my chest. I'm not an animal. Look, all sorts has happened, Tommy. I've moved home. I've moved into an old house that needs a lot of work and I haven't started the work yet.
Yes, an extender.
And an extender. And had a baby and life is, touch wood, appears to be approaching some sort of normality. The highlight show's gone, unfortunately. The Channel 5 highlight show's gone.
I think you should have started that tweet with great sadness.
I love that reply. It's funny, because like there's a lot of reaction to that on Twitter. People have replied a lot to Durders and me on that, and everyone's been lovely. But there are some people not targeting, they're basically saying, good old RFU, ruining everything again. And it's like, it's got nothing to do with the RFU, absolutely.
But give me a second series, you shit.
You shites. It's a weird thing, because, I mean, actually, it might come back. If Prem Rugby do... Mm. Get a deal over the line with one of the channels, it might come back, and Channel 5 do still want to do our live games. There's no live games either, so you're at this unusual point where for the first time in a very long time you can get all the highlights and the games, full games and stuff, on the Premiership Rugby website really quick, but there is no Premiership Rugby on terrestrial TV, and it hasn't been that way for quite a long time. And I know that Prem Rugby will be very keen to remedy that. So it's one of those things that might come back. But for now, it's like I'm still commentating a lot, and I'm, you know, doing or various bits and pieces, doing Bath Newcastle this weekend, that sort of stuff. But it's almost like and I'm doing this new thing called The Lowdown. So I'm doing a Prem highlight show thing on a Sunday night just on my own. But ultimately, we'd probably quite like the show back because we just have fun doing it. But I do have, like, on Sunday... This next Sunday, I think I might have some mates coming round for a barbecue. And it's like, oh my God, I haven't done that for years.
I'm sort of waiting for a UK Gov petition to come through to get Durden and Smith and Flatman back on TV. You get enough votes, you can take it to Parliament.
Yeah, we need 48 votes. We're still on 27, guys. Come on.
I'm going to take this to Congress. Well, these podcasts are meant to be a little bit shorter. We sort of said we'll try and do like 30, 35 minutes because most people switch off after that. I'm guessing because either they've got to work, they finish their commute, or they're just doing a quick endurance.
Is that right? People switch off. I mean, that's what I do. I get to about half an hour, 40 minutes, and I think I'm get where I'm going, and I never finish it.
A quick endurance session maybe in the gym. Now, we'll go into the rugby shortly, Flats. But
look,
before
Tommy,
that...
Yeah, go on then. You do your bit first. Go on then.
Before that, I was going to say, have you seen the red card, Castro versus Bordeaux? Yes. Rhino Peterson.
Oh, Rhino. Why do they call him Rhino? Yeah.
With a Y, Chav.
I thought it looked like... Yeah, exactly. I thought it was like... it's someone who wants to do a massive hit, but doesn't quite have the coordination to do it, so he thinks you've got to jump into it like that. It was like, you've never played rugby before, but you're keen to kill somebody and be mad. And it's like, that's what you've done, except it's a pro player. It just looks so mal-coordinated. It
yeah,
just
it's like a lack of rugby intelligence, that.
Yeah.
It's probably a really bright guy off the field. A lot like Jamie Roberts. But it was unbelievable. I just love the launch.
Yeah,
it's like,
that's what I mean.
He's launched himself like Michael Jordan from the free throw line, doing a dunk.
But that's someone who's never played the game before trying to do a big hit. Yeah. Like, what are you doing,
again,
mate? That's not
like
how you
Jamie
do
Roberts.
It.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I have to say as well, Australia showing the lions up at the moment on how to play rugby.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's great.
Yeah, it is great. But what a trick we missed there, eh? When I say we, I mean like...
The Lions. Yeah. We Lions. I do wonder if... Yeah, I think that's exactly the right thing. Miss a trick. I really think you're right. And I actually think that Quins in England plus France plus Australia, obviously plus the All Blacks, plus the way the Lions Springbok series went down, I actually think that law tweaks aside, that Lions series might end up being an absolute gift of a series because I think... Those Lions coaches will acknowledge that most people don't want to see that again. Mm-hmm. So I quite enjoyed the series because it was
Lions.
Dramatic and it was big Lions. But actually, if you rewatch it, the rugby is just really quite boring most of the time. And you look at Gregor Townsend, you think that's surely not how he wanted to coach.
No, he no get an agenda.
Did no get the agenda. So you know, I think basically next to Finn Russell and Marcus Smith. Vying for the spot at 10. Let's have it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rugby time.
Look, we don't have to do every bloody game now.
Well, I'm
going to
pick one.
The games.
I'm going to pick one, okay?
All right, fine.
Solely because I watched it.
Yeah.
Newcastle Quins yesterday.
Well, I was going to pick that one.
Oh. You and your four non-blondes. Yeah. That was a very good game, very enjoyable game. I have to say now, previously, Flats, I would have said your 10 might be the most important person around a field to direct you, to put you in the right place. to lead you. But I think a 9 is more important than a 10.
Tommy, I really think about it.
I really do.
Think about this.
I really do. I think a 9, not... Now, you get different 10s, you get different 9s, but when you get a 9, like a Danny Care, for instance, you know, someone that, you know, if he'll pass it to the 10, or he'll keep it in, or he'll box kick, you know, he just dictates the pace of the game. He dictates where you play. He dictates if the ball goes wide or not. I think he's far more important to running of a game for Quins than any other player, even Marcus Smith. Marcus Smith is great at making breaks. He's great at making decisions. But Danny Care dictates everything in that team. And you get a few like it. There's nines which are great as individuals, but possibly don't have, say, the rugby knowledge or IQ that someone like Danny Care has. You know, you get lots of players like who are individually brilliant, like a Ben Spencer, for instance, or a Gareth Davis.
Yep.
Really good, make loads of breaks all the time. But you look at someone like Danny Care, or Aaron Smith at the All Blacks, quality players like that. Everything goes through them. Yeah.
Yeah, I watch Danny Care and I think, bloody hell, he's still going. Mm. And you would not bet against him still being a first, maybe slash second choice player in the Premiership in 5 seasons' time.
Yep.
I mean, he moves so well.
Yep.
And he's just one of those players that, one, knows what to do knows what to do all the time. Also, super confident. And also, everything his mind wants him to do, his body can do.
Yep.
He can do all of it. He does every single thing brilliantly. And he's a little tank. And
might not have the top-end speed still, but... Do you really need it?
Yeah, but he still makes breaks. Yep. You don't really need it, and I mean, you can get away without it. But I think, like, if you look at a Quins winning the league is nice because it's. But if you think about the value that, in terms of, you know, if you owned a Premiership club, think about Mike Brown. I know he's left now, but think about Joe Marler. Think about Danny Care. You could argue that Danny Care has given more value. I can't think of a player who's given more value for longer. There might be Skulk Brits, maybe. There will be others, right?
Will
but
Carlin.
There won't be many that have given more value to a Premiership club for so long. He is just consistently brilliant. And when his form's dipped a bit, he's about a 7 out of 10. And he described it as a shocker against Wasps in that epic game at the Stoop last season where Quins sort of turned a corner and they won, you know, 105, 104, or whatever it was.
Mm.
And it's like, well, everything didn't go perfectly. Dan Robson was amazing. He was better on the day. But Danny Care is in the middle of every single thing, you know, and you think, you're right, what a player. But also, I want to talk about, Ewan Stevens, but first I want to talk about Adam Radwan. I really like the Newcastle back line, really, really like it. I like the midfield too.
Mm.
Big time, and I like, you know, Mike Brown's got to come in, but Penny at fullback I really like as a counter attacker.
He was good,
excellent player. And I don't think Mike Brown, which will be good for him at his age, and he's not old, but he's played a lot of rugby. I don't think he needs to play 80 minutes every week. I think actually they can swap a bit, which is great. But Adam Radwan is so much more than a quick bloke.
I remember us talking about him when we did the Anglo-Welsh show for Channel 5 a few years ago. And he was always featuring in the games, scoring unbelievable tries. But you're right, his work rate's really good. He reads the game well. His pace and his acceleration, wow. As was Ewan Stevens, Colin Stevens' son.
Yeah.
Probably could have done a little bit better to finish off a try. It was amazing tackle, mind, in the corner. It wasn't Lewis Lyne. I'm not sure who got him.
Was it Tyrone Green that got
him? Tyrone Green, I think.
But you feel like if Ewan Stevens had just put that ball straight back inside, sort of off the cuff, it would have worked. But that's a hell of a pass to make. That would have been the play of the weekend.
It was, but it was. He looked really sharp as well, considering, you know, that was his debut against the champions. You know, it bodes well for the rest of the season. Hopefully, you know, should he stay fit? I hope he does. So that was good. Esterhazen as well. Really impressed with Esterhazen. His distribution skills were good through a couple of nice passes, but he's such a big bloke that he gives a real good platform for Quins. And, you know, Quins, often you look at, say, Big 12s, and you think, well, we can't play that expansive game when you've got such a lump at 12 who's really just going to carry for you, but they can, because Quins have got Danny Care. They've got quality outside them as well, like elusive players, players that are able to create space and not just hit lines.
You know?
So they keep the ball alive, and Esterhazy actually suits how Quins want to play, because he gives them so much quick front foot ball. Players just couldn't deal with him, as Exeter couldn't deal with Nandolo at the weekend.
Yeah. It's also, you need the weapons, but you need the means of deploying them as well, don't you? If you've got, like, I always think if you've got a freak tight head prop who just marmalises people in the scrum, like you had Julian White for years, it's like, well, he is definitely going to get a chance to do that. So he is going to get 10 or 15 chances to marmalise you. You can have an amazing winger that you don't see. Didn't see Cheslin Colby for two tests. You know, you can, but you can have a great centre that you don't see too much of. Yeah. You need the right nine, you need the right 10. You need those guys to do their job. And then you look at Nandolo and you think, I mean, Marcus Smith, George Ford, same thing at the line, really. Both as good as each other. I might even say George Ford might even be better at the line with those delayed passes, very close. But you wouldn't. There's no one better for Nandolo to work off than George Ford on the front foot, because there are decoy runners. I think it's George Martin that was outside Nandolo pulling defenders away. It meant that it couldn't be a 2-on-1. Because they'd leave a hole, and he just smacked straight through Joe Simmons, didn't he? But Christ, like you still need to put him away. Is my point. Having him there is having a sprinter on the wing is not good enough. You need to use him.
Yeah, you still need to put him through the right holes and still trying to, all you want is a 1-on-1, like you said. I still look at Esterhazy and I think you're probably going to get two reds throughout the season at some stage.
Yeah,
purely for defensively. Maybe a high elbow. He's got that in him, but we saw it last year. But he was really good the weekend, as was Freddie Stewart for Leicester.
Well, here's the thing. This is what I'm thinking, boy.
Go on.
Freddie Stewart is evidently immense, right? He is going to be, touch wood, he stays fit. He is going to play 200 games for Leicester Tigers, right? He has just got it. You can just tell under the high ball, he's composed and all that. I wonder if there's, because he's obviously a big man, he's 6'4", 6'5", physical. He's a big man. I wonder if there's a bit of like squat and deadlift work behind the scenes he's doing to give him a bit more beast strength in those legs, because I wonder if that'll give him an extra yard of pace, because I watch him and I think he is the full ticket, except he's, and he probably hates people saying this already, he doesn't seem to be super quick. Whereas I watch Northampton and I watch George Furbank and he's not, you wouldn't rely on him like you would rely on Freddie Stewart. He doesn't feel like a rock at 15 yet, but man, can he attack. And you wonder if he's going to end up being the next, he was amazing at the weekend. You wonder if he's going to end up being the next Nick Abendanen, who just shreds people for fun, but never gets picked for England because he's not as good under the high ball or something like that, you know?
Ben Foden-esque sort of thing. A little bit.
Foden's got loads of caps, but is Freddie Stewart going to be the new Mike Brown?
Yeah. Certainly that try that Northampton scored where they hit the middle and came back was real nice.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Furbank
ball out the back from Tom Wood. Lovely.
Yeah, really well done. After quite a big solid hit in the midfield as well. But
yeah, it was.
Northampton looked good. You pick a game. You pick the next game.
I thought Friday night was amazing because, well, for lots of reasons. The main reason is that no one expected that result, and no one outside the Sarri's change room expected that. And I did this this highlights clip. I filmed this highlights thing with Prem Rugby last night at home, and it's like they show you the clips of the Sarri's game. And I did say, look, this is a deceiving clip because the clip opens with Lazovski's grubber through for Lewington. That is a beautiful try, beautifully executed. It's really, really nice. But that is the most fun Sarri's had for an hour and a half. The rest of it was line speed, pressure, basics, set piece, defence, collide. It was proper old school Sarri's before they started adding the layers and layers of beautiful attack.
Wolfpack-esque, wasn't it?
And you might not like it, but they're in the winning business. And I thought they were mega impressive. And Austin said before kickoff, with all they've done and all they've spent and the way, and all that, Bristol should be favourites for the Premiership. They are probably favourites. I don't know if I do feel like they're favourites, but I do feel like Bristol have got to go and win this thing this season or next season, or you feel like that wave might, you know, that they're crest of a wave almost at the moment because they've got rock stars everywhere, but you think that might, I hope it doesn't, that might dilute a little bit.
Or the investment might not come, you know, after a certain amount of time. You know, you're people are only willing
maybe,
to put money
maybe,
in for
I,
a certain
maybe.
Amount of time.
I mean,
but yeah, you look at Bristol, like 169 passes, Saracens had 67. That tells you a lot about the game. Bristol made 71 tackles. Saracens made 130.
Yeah.
But Lazowski's grubber was brilliant, right? Not only was it a good kick, but the best kicks are the ones which aren't pre-planned. That wasn't pre-planned at all. He just looked up, instinctively put it through.
Just talent.
Yeah, really good. He's unbelievably solid in defence, we know that. Kicked off the tee well, I think, bar one. But there wasn't much else to shout about. Don't forget, Bristol have got Semi Radradra to come back in.
Yeah, but mate, Sarries have got all their Lions.
True.
And they got seven or eight first, like, proper first choice players that would walk into the team to come back. Like, that was half their first team.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, like, friggin' hell. I mean, it's only one game in. I mean, who knows? But you watch after one round, you think, they could win the league. I guess, you know, they look so hard to beat. But then it's a bit like the box, mate. It's a bit like, well, how are you going to play against that? And Bristol kicked, you know, have traditionally, the last couple of seasons, have just flung it and gone. Mm. They kicked so much ball on Friday night. And I can't help thinking to myself, I know the percentages tell you that's going to make you more likely to win. But against these teams that are so good at that game, it makes you feel like, shouldn't you just try and shred them from everywhere?
But they have to kick as well a lot against Saracens. Well, Saracens force you to kick a lot against them because defensively they're so good.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It was quite quiet really from Euron and Sheedy, 9 and 10. Didn't really create too much around them. Charles Piatow, that step was just brilliant.
Oh my God. Actually, oh my God.
Saracens did really well not to commit to tackles when... I think it was Harry Thacker. He puts down the left. It was a brilliant pass, mind. Like, his no-look pass down the left. But Sarries actually do really well to keep alive. And I think it's a last-minute ditch tackle, and then Billy Vanapola comes over and wipes everyone out into touch. But
that's right, yeah.
They were defensively on point, Sarries. I wonder what this new 50-20 rule is going to be like. Because it should theoretically create more space because players are so wary of it. We saw Lewis Liner put a lovely kick in. Because wingers are going to have to drop a lot more. 15s are going to have to drop a lot more. So there might be more space out wide in those wider channels if you can get the ball there. Or because a 15 is going to be so deep, there's going to be a lot of space behind for the attacking kick overs because, you know, 9, 10's not to sweep anymore. 9's normally out the blocks first, defensively, in defensive line, either holding the blind or flying out as first defender. So I think it's going to be a good rule. I really do. I think it's going to create more space and, you know, it's going to be harder to defend against, which means it should favour the attacking team.
I reckon by the end of the season, we'll be saying, yeah, it's been fine. There have been some good kicks. Owen Williams was the best kick. I mean, his kick was a beauty at the weekend for Worcester. Meehan as well put a nice one in, but from 9, which is unusual. But he basically box kicked it from 9, 50-20. It was a 50-22. Yeah. It was an amazing kick. But I reckon in a year from now, we'll be saying, nah. Sorry, I mean, has it made a massive difference? Not really. I wonder if it's just going to encourage teams to kick more, which a beautiful kick is great to watch, but
I don't know if it will.
9 out of 10 kicks are boring, mate.
I don't know if it will because I think they'll be heavily guarded behind. I think defensively teams would be too worried. I think Willie Hines is going to be great for Worcester. Worcester
wasn't he good?
Weekend.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, we've got John Thomas there, head coach. Good mate of mine. You want your mates to do well, basically, don't you? In life.
Yeah, as you know, like you and I are completely... We're completely neutral. Like, you know, we don't lose sleep, whoever wins or loses games, but there are some people that you want to succeed. Like,
yeah,
I want Stuart Hooper to succeed. I want Alex Sanderson. I want John Thomas. I want them to win things, you know. They won't all win things, but you want them to do well. So I think that's okay.
And when it doesn't happen, they'll forget about it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, as long as when they're crap, we say so, then we're allowed to say we want them to win. I think that's the rule. By the way, I started watching Help. I haven't finished it yet.
Got a record. Is that Stephen Graham?
Oh, mate, yeah. But it's not... I forget the actor's name is Oppo, the female who's in Killing Eve. I've forgotten her name now. Mm. Oh, my God, she is... Oh, my God, mate, she's good. Okay. I read an interview with Stephen Graham and he said, watch Help, because... He said, I'm in it a bit, but she's in it. And as soon as I worked with her first, we've got to do something together. And she is unbelievable, boy. Like, oh my God, so good. Like, literally better than him. And he's the daddy.
Okay.
Like, she's brilliant. You've got to watch it.
I will do. That will do us, shall it? Yeah.
That'll do us, boy. It's good to do us, lad. Hey, well done to you. All right?
Yeah. Well, good to be back, everyone.
Yeah.
Review us. Give us 5 stars. Book us for a cameo appointment. Anything you want.
Yeah.
We're available.
Do a wee in the garden. Do a wee in a pint glass in the garden.
A wild wee.
All right, guys, keep going, yeah. For God's sake. For God's sake, keep going.
I know you like to finish.
If you don't, who ruddy will?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.